Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Go to theathletic.com/downtodunk and get the Athletic for 30% off an annual subscription. With me, as always on Wednesdays, is my good friend Alex Spears. Alex, what's up?
What's up, Andrew? In the comments, Twice God says he's going to be at the game tonight for the first time since 2009.
Oh, wow, Twice God. I'm going to be there, too. Come say hello.
It's been a decade.
Come say hello. If you're at the game, feel free to come say hello.
Why would you say that? They'll get arrested if they come and see you because you're down on Media Row.
I'll come say hello. You can do that.
They don't let people down there.
just wave. Just wave hello. I'll be moseying around, trying to, you know, find some treats while I'm at the arena. So
find some treats. What a psycho.
It's true. It's true. If you see me heading back to my seat with arms full of treats, my family's going to the game tonight. Big shouts to special guest Royce Young for hooking us up.
Nice.
Our family will be there. So I will be, you might see me walking up and down the stands with lots of treats. So should be fun. Should be a fun game. We have the tanking Super Bowl coming to Oklahoma City tonight. Is this the fourth time? Yes. Goodness, man.
It's over, though. This is the final. This is the finale.
I'm so glad. I'm so... One, I'm tired of like thinking about the Rockets. I'm tired of watching the Rockets. I am so glad this is it because it's and I really hope that this ends up being a 1-3 endeavor for the Thunder.
That would be pretty wild.
It would
if
be.
They were able to come away this season with a 1-3 record against the Rockets.
What a roller coaster!
Really impressive
so far in the three games. Like the first game, they just get trounced, and you're like, wow, the Thunder did it. They are the worst team maybe in NBA history. How did this happen? And then they like turn this corner where you're like, well, they're clearly better. Like they're clearly better than Houston. They beat them up in OKC. And then they lose again by a bunch. And it was more reasonable the second time around they lost in Houston because they're without the plus minus all-stars of Kenrich Williams and Mike Muscala. And even like Favors isn't great plus minus, but like still having like a veteran that knows what he's up to, like that's always helpful.
They can't solve the riddle that is the Toyota Center. The place was jumping.
Dude, the attendance was just embarrassing.
I know. I mean, we probably shouldn't say anything because I know it's really bad in OKC too, but
yeah,
it was also bad in Houston.
Some of that's Mondays. Like Monday attendance has been really bad, like for the Thunder, and that's just the eye test. Like any Monday game that I've gone to, there was a preseason game on a Monday, and it was like I can probably count the people that are here. You know, just myself.
That's
like
rough. Yeah,
like the attendance can be counted by me, and Wednesdays have been better attended, and obviously like weekend games are better too. But this game in particular, like there's no draw from Houston. I mean, go ask any random person that likes the NBA. You don't even have to be people that don't like the NBA. Say, hey, name three people that are on the Rockets. And I bet you they couldn't do it.
Well, I mean, even if you're a Rockets, I mean, if you're a diehard, you're interested in the team no matter what. But if you're just like a casual Rockets fan and you were wanting to go to a game, you wouldn't want to pick the one that Jalen Green isn't even going to play in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who cares?
No Jalen Green, no Mike Muscala. I mean, what's the point?
What's the point? Only getting 17 Shin Goon minutes and they're not even playing Daniel Tice, you know? What's the point?
Hey, Roby kind of took it to Shin Goon a little bit in that game. What'd you think about that?
I didn't think much of it. I thought a lot about your tweet, though.
Oh, you did?
Your sly tweet. Your sly tweet trying to take your cheap shot at R. Alperin.
Yep.
At R. Alperin saying that that Roby made him look like a 16th pick and then immediately getting hate tweets from Shin Goon supporters.
Someone was so mad. It's just, I'm just messing around. Like, I like Shin Goon. I think it's great.
You gotta stop messing.
I gotta stop messing.
I'm thrilled, though, because the Rockets' three-game winning streak,
yeah,
a couple of weeks ago, Andrew, the reverse standings, it was looking scary. It was like, are we heading for another sixth overall pick?
Yep.
Which, like, fine, but please, we have to get a high pick one of these years. And then the Rockets turn it on. The Pelicans have turned it on.
Ooh, the Pels is a big one, huh?
Oh, yeah. The Pels I feel great about. I retweeted that graph, that chart from Ed Kupfer.
Yep.
Yesterday,
yep.
Where the Pelicans literally have had the hardest schedule so far, and they're going to have the easiest schedule going forward.
Yep.
So even if Zion is in and out of the lineup, you still got to feel good about them going forward. Like, they're going to finish ahead of the Thunder. So that's good.
Yeah.
We got that one off the board. And then the teams at the bottom, I actually felt good because they all have about the same strength of schedule going
mm-hmm.
forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, like, I'm feeling better about the Rockets now. Now, we'll see, because there's two competing factors. One, they finally went away from their double big lineup of Christian Wood and Daniel Tice, which was terrible by advanced stats.
Yep.
It's terrible to watch. I think it was hurting. It was obviously hurting their spacing, even though Daniel Tice will take some threes.
It's hurting my eyes.
Hurting your eyes. They got rid of it. That lineup that they had last night, KPJ, Garrison Matthews, Eric Gordon, Jayshon Tate, Christian Wood. Like, that's not a playoff team, but that's a fine starting lineup.
Competent.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's one competing thing. So, like, okay, they've gotten away from the double bigs. That's great. But then the other thing is Jalen Green, one of the worst plus minuses, one of the worst players just by advanced stats.
Yeah.
I mean, I still really like Jalen Green, but that's just what the advanced stats say. He's been one of the most harmful players, which is to be expected. I mean, Tao, I think, was last, he was like bottom five in the league last year.
Yeah.
So that's normal, but he's been out of the lineup. So when he comes back, we'll have to see how they look. Like, when he comes back, you now have this new lineup where you don't have people clogging the lane. Maybe that makes it easier for Jalen Green. He starts playing better. The point is, I'm more hopeful than I've been in a few weeks about the Rockets. I feel like they really got something going, and they gotta stick with it, Andrew. They gotta stick with it.
Yeah. I mean, look at the injury report right now. Houston, DJ Augustine, Usman Garuba, Jalen Green, all out. Like, that's helpful. Like, DJ Augustine, when he played in OKC, couldn't have been more disinterested in what was going on out there. I mean, it's just, he was done. And then for the Thunder, Gabriel Deck is listed as out on a G League assignment, which I think he'll be recalled today, but also, like, he won't play anyways.
Is he actually going to play a game, or was it just he's working out with him?
This is what Mark said yesterday, is they were going to do a high intensity workout for practice that day, and they wanted to get him over there to do it because the Thunder weren't going to have one, and they wanted him to stay in shape. So that's
what if they didn't do that and he just got giant by the end of the season? Just weighed like 300 pounds at the end of the season.
Oh no, we forgot about you, Gabby. No,
he's just been enjoying Tex-Mex in Oklahoma City, just loading up at Ted's Escondido.
It's possible, it's very possible. Derek Favors is listed as out with a non-COVID related illness. Vit Krejci is with the Blue as well. Kenrich Williams is out with a right ankle sprain. And then Mike Muscala is listed as questionable with right ankle soreness. He was a late scratch. He was taken out of the lineup like right before the game started the other night. Mm. So, but like I said, with those plus minus all-stars out, it really changes everything because there's nobody to come off the bench to flip the game. And the starting lineup has really been bad in the first quarters, and they've kind of relied on Kenrich and Mike to come in and flip the game for them. And there's no game flippers coming off that bench right now. It's a bunch of young guys that are still trying to figure things out. I know Trey Mann had a nice game, and Isaiah Roby had a nice game, but like they didn't flip the energy of the game. And that's something that both those guys do. So
I was looking at the playing time from that game. I was very interested in Bazley's minutes.
Yeah.
Because one of the early season narratives is, Marcus he's not letting Poku play more than 15 minutes most games.
Yep.
Like he's having to prove himself. Same with Trey Mann. All that makes sense. But why is Bazley getting to play all these minutes? And do you think it's actually shifting right now? Or do you think it's just a matter of like, well, these games are kind of getting out of hand and, you know, whatever, why play Bazley? Because he only played 20 minutes in the game against Houston. And then the game prior to that, he only played 21 minutes against Washington. He previously had typically been playing around 30 to 33 minutes. Early in the season, like in that first Houston game, he only played 17 minutes because it was a blowout. He only played 19 minutes in the game against Golden State. But do you think this is actually a trend, or is this just a blip, like random Mark is trying out different stuff in these couple of games?
I think they know he's struggling. I asked specifically, like, what's the plan with Bazley? Like, he's struggling offensively. Is there any thought that he could, you know, come off the bench or change his role? And he said they hadn't really given that much consideration. So my guess is that this is more just kind of situational, where things are out of hand and Roby's playing well, so let's give Roby a little bit more run. I don't think it's necessarily like we're looking to do something different with Bazley, because it really didn't seem like that at all, asking Mark yesterday. It didn't seem like they were going to do anything different. And some of that is that there's nobody off the bench that's like pushing for that role.
I know that. I was thinking about that because, I mean, we would like to see, you know, maybe Poku, but I don't know if you like, I understand why they don't want Poku to be their starting power forward.
Yeah. Poku's not lighting the world on fire right now. I mean, if he was coming off the bench scoring like 15 a game, then I think it would be like, there's no reason to not start him. But like, he's coming off the bench putting up 2, 3, and 1. It's like, okay, well, Bazley at least defends, you know.
What about the idea of, you know, we saw Isaiah Roby last night. Would you like to see more Isaiah Roby, more Roby JRE front lines?
No.
No? Nothing there?
I mean,
nothing to get you excited?
They're both like 4 or 5 tweeners.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you want to get, you'll get worse defensively, certainly, if you put Roby out there. And Roby had a nice night. He was 8 of 10 from the field. Like, he's not going to shoot 80% from the field. You know, like, that's just not going to happen. So, yes, he had a good night. I don't think it's anything to overreact to. That's fine. I don't know. I mean, I'm fine with like keeping Bazley in there and, you know, using this season to like solidify that, like, yes, Darius Bazley is not a part of the future of the Thunder. You know what I mean?
It feels like they've already made that decision about Teo, who only got 6 minutes in this game. Like,
he's out of the rotation, like, totally. And he's going to be going back to the Blues soon, too.
Yeah. And in his case, there is someone pushing him for minutes because you have Trey Mann now.
Trey's been good.
It's not just Ty Jerome, which in Oklahoma City world is a veteran. You actually have this young rookie that you want to get minutes for. Mm-hmm. And Trey Mann is so much, obviously, like, they're completely different players, but he's so much more dynamic when he's out on the court. I was actually looking at Teo's game log because you know of Game Score on Basketball Reference, where it's trying to do like a quick and dirty summation of how good a player was, mostly offensively.
Yep.
And like a decent game would be like somewhere in the realm of like 20, a game score of 20. Like, Shea's had a lot of games around 20. Teo, I didn't realize you could have negative game scores. That was brought to my attention when looking through Teo's box score. He's had 3 negative games, a 0, a 0.5, a 0.7, 0.8. Like, he is putting up, when he is out on the court, if we're using that as a quick and dirty like statistic, he is not impacting the game.
So
at
bad.
All Like not doing anything.
It's been rough.
He's made three threes on this season.
That feels right. That feels about right. where he's been. Yeah.
He's shooting 11.5% from three.
Yeah.
On the season.
Low attempts. I'm not completely giving up on Théo. I'm not completely giving up hope on Théo.
It's not even about giving up hope. It's like, where is he going to get minutes going forward? Because I feel like the roster crunch that we talk about in the future,
That's real. I think there will be a time this season that he'll get minutes.
But I'm saying like that roster crunch is going to happen, but there's like no chance of it happening with the bigs this year. Like we could literally bring in another player and find them minutes in the front court.
No doubt.
But I feel like the roster crunch is already there with the guards. Like the fact that Ty Jerome can't get consistent minutes, and he's been one of the better players on the team, just in terms of like consistency. Mm-hmm. I was going back looking at PER because one of my bold predictions in the preseason was that only one Thunder player would have above a 15 PER.
Yeah.
And I don't think that will end up being true. But right now there's only four. So like I have a shot.
Yeah, that's a chance.
I have a shot. And one of those is Ty Jerome. Mike Muscala is the one who's going to screw it up for me because he's obviously going to be above 15.
Yeah, no question.
He's already locked it in.
Yeah, he probably has.
Yeah.
He probably has. And who knows? I mean, I'm interested to see how much Mike plays the rest of the season. I think he'll play the rest of the season. But I'm interested to see what that looks like because there is a chance that we don't see much Muscala moving forward. Because that's I think it's pretty obvious that if you are following what the Thunder are doing, that they have some levers to pull and that the levers that they need to pull to stay at the bottom of these tankathon standings, right? Like if you want to get one of the top two picks in this draft, then you have to be bad. Like you just have to be. And you look at what Mike and Kenrich and all these other guys are doing. And it might behoove them to go find another big and be like, you know what? We want to try to get minutes for the next Tony Bradley or whoever it is, you know, rather than throwing Mike out there.
Just to see if you can find something.
Yeah, see if you can find something or just to honestly not have a game flipper out there.
Not a game flipper. Moses Brown started for the Mavs.
Yeah.
You hear that?
He did.
It didn't go well.
It didn't go well. Who's surprised? Okay.
You said top two. I would like to, this isn't a bold prediction, but I just want to stake my claim that I would be thrilled, equally thrilled.
Yeah.
If the Thunder got any of the top three guys.
Okay. Who's the third guy?
Jabari Smith. Because each of those guys offers something that the Thunder are lacking in. Yeah. You talked about it with Paolo, how like he's a high level scorer,
bro.
Something that the Thunder are going to need at some point.
Yeah.
Chet, obviously great rim defender, something they do not have on the roster right now. Mm-hmm. But then Jabari Smith, way better shooter than Paolo or Chet.
Yeah, he is the kind of player, and you'd have to wonder what the Thunder's thought process would be between him and Chet.
Or him or Paolo. Because, like, seriously, for a team that is so focused on defense, like, Jabari Smith is, like, worlds better than Paolo. I mean, he is a 3-and-D who has the potential to grow into, like, a big-time scorer.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying right now, on December 1st, I would be equally thrilled if they got any of those three, because I think all of them are bringing something that the Thunder desperately need.
Yeah.
Beyond that is where I start, I don't know. I think for Thunder fans, we want Jaden Ivey to be as good as possible.
Yeah.
In the hopes that someone who needs a guard early is going to, like, jump at the chance to take Jaden Ivey.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I mean, who knows? Maybe if he's the best player available, Oklahoma City takes him. But that now, like, the guard crunch is like unsolvable.
No, yeah.
Yeah. And there's, and in a draft like this where there are so many bigs and so many good bigs.
Yeah, it would be similar to like the Sixers taking too many centers to start their process.
Yeah. Like, you get it because it's BPA.
Yeah.
Not the chemical. Best player available.
Yeah.
But it really hamstrings your development of those guys.
Yeah. Yanni in the chat says that Jabari is a full calendar year younger than Paolo and Chet.
That is also true. Yes. And you know how I love young guys.
You're all about age.
Full calendar year, already shooting like 40% from three, can guard, he says, all five positions, although he did say he cannot guard Jokic. He admitted that. I just think, like, any of those top three, I am just over the moon.
Yeah. This is an important draft. And it's, and I mentioned this on Monday, but it's kind of great that they got Giddy in this past draft, just because the bigs that are in this draft, like, that's where the need is. And had they drafted a big, or even Kuminga, who might end up playing more power forward in the league, like, it would be, then you'd have to be like, well, where does that fit? Like, how does it work? Because that ultimately will matter. You know, obviously you want to just get the most talent on the court possible and then figure it out. But with the way the Thunder are building, like, there's a lot of intentionality behind the positions. And, like, one thing, like, Jabari would bring is just, like, this, like, positionless basketball stuff. And Paolo, to a degree, could bring that too. Chet could too. So all those guys could bring, like, this, like, positionless, like, what are they? Who's guarding who? Why is this happening this way? Like, how do we deal with the Thunder? Like, they're just weird. And it, like, could be, you know, a team that maybe sets some trends too with just the size they're going to have at every single position.
I think, and the other thing is, like, I don't think necessarily any of those players are going to be as impactful as Evan Mobley.
Sure.
But if you brought in a Chet or a Jabari, like a high level defender, and subbed out, you know, Bazley in the starting lineup for Jabari or whoever were playing at center for Chet, I don't think they would be as good as Cleveland is this year, but I do think you would see a significant, like, improvement in the team overall, like, year over year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would see them being around, like, the 30 wins now.
Yes. Eventually, this Thunder team is going to win 32 games. Like, that's going to happen, whether it's next season or the season after.
Whereas if Paolo came on the team, I think they still might be kind of bad.
Why do you think that?
Because I just don't think that he's necessarily helping you defensively the way those other two guys are in his rookie season.
Yeah, but what if he helps your offense? Because that's where the Thunder are hurting, just desperate. Like, that's where they're just desperate. It's just like, can we get somebody to score? Can we get somebody to do it? Like, they're an average defense already with starting two rookies, you know?
That's true. So maybe if Paolo comes in, they bump up to, like, the 20th ranked offense, and they're still, like, a mid-pack defense.
Yeah, and the thing I love about Mark with this squad is, like, you don't play unless you play defense. Like, you just don't. You know, it's like similar to, like, Popovich. Like, you just don't play. You're not gonna play. And it's like Trey. You can hear Trey, like, how desperate, like, he really wants to get minutes. And when he talks after games, like, all he wants to talk about is, like, getting loose balls, you know, closing out, getting rebounds. That's all he wants to talk about, because he knows, like, a part of that is, like, the key to him getting playing time. And I don't know how much Mark listens to those press conferences, but, you know, if he does and he hears all he's talking about is defense, he's been like, all right.
He knows the secret sauce.
He does. And he's buying in. I mean, Trey's been good. Trey's played well and deserves to have those minutes. And you mix in, like, the defense and the rebounding and everything that he's bringing with just the pure shot creation stuff that he brings to the table. It's like, okay, like, he's interesting. I don't know what kind of NBA player he's going to be. Yeah. You know, that's still, like, way up in the air, but he's at least showing some stuff early on that is encouraging.
And I'm glad that he's being encouraged to shoot more. It seems like that's a big focus of the team as well. I mean, we heard Mark talk about it,
yeah.
Like Shea's, you know, helping him out, doing shooting drills. Like mm-hmm. they want him to be that scorer.
Yeah. Yeah, he has to. Like, you could tell it was frustrating Mark at the beginning of the season. And you could see it too, just like watching him get out there. Like he would have these opportunities where you're like, okay, now like there's your step back. Like there's your pull up. There's like, you can see it.
Right.
He's just not taking it. And he's finally starting to take those. And like his acrobatic finishes at the rim, like through contact, it's like, oh, like those are the moments. The outside shooting and everything, I think he's already got that. But the finishing around the rim stuff has been like, oh, I guess that's pretty,
well,
makes him like way more interesting as a player.
Yeah, I feel like the outside shooting, like everything but the shot is there, and it has been there.
Yeah.
But like in that Houston game, despite going 1 of 5 from three, like the way he was attacking the basket and getting to the line, like you could imagine a scenario where he's filling that role of like a Lou Williams off the bench.
Yeah.
Because yeah. that was what Lou Will was so good at. Like, yes, he was a great scorer and he could shoot threes, but he got to the line a ton.
Yep.
And if Trey Mann could be that type of guy coming off the bench, it would just be a huge boost to this offense.
Yeah. Trey, from 0 to 3 feet, you know what he's shooting on the season?
Trey, 0 to 3 feet on the season, he is shooting 61%.
84.6%.
Whoa, 84.
He's like making everything, and it's not a ton. It's only like 18% of his shots.
Uh-huh.
But that's really something. I mean, it's the best number on the team. Next is Isaiah Roby at 76%. Next, Lou Dort, 69% from 0 to 3 feet. Josh uh-huh. Giddey, 65. Shea, 63. Favors, 62. That's pretty good.
Let's hone in on that Giddey number, because his game against Houston is probably one of his worst offensively in terms of his own scoring.
I'm calling it. It was his worst.
It was bad,
like straight.
And it kind of reminded me of Dort's rookie season, where like he's getting left wide open from three.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, you're like, well, I guess you got to take it. Because it's wide open.
He's got to take it, yeah.
But on the other hand, like, it's not going in. And because he's being forced into that shot that he is not good at right now, it's taking away so much of the rest of his game. Because when he drives, something interesting happens the majority of the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing something, whether he's creating something for someone else, or, like you just mentioned with his field goal percentage, 0 to 3 feet, he's doing something for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but I don't know what he's supposed to do, because they're sagging so far off of him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what, you can't, what, you're just going to drive into like three guys around the basket? Like, I understand why he's taking those threes, but like, he has to start making threes so that someone guards him. Because when someone does come out on him, he doesn't shoot the three. He instantly starts driving and everything looks better.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to make some kind of adjustment. And maybe it's, you know, him coming off of more like dribble handoff so they can get him going downhill more. But when he's playing off ball and they're passing it to him and he's just like, okay, well, there's no one within 20 feet of me. I guess I will shoot this three, and it clanks off. It just takes so much away from his game and what he's bringing to this team.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not worried about it. I think it's something he's got to work on in the off season. Honestly, I don't think it's going to get any better. I want him to continue to take them though. Because I think it's good for him to get the reps, and for almost for him, because he's so competitive that I don't think he's going to, and hopefully it never gets to this point where he's like, oh man, like I'm just not a 3-point shooter. I got to think he needs to keep taking them, because it's a swing skill for him, and I don't want him to be afraid to take them. So like, if you shoot 28% from three on the season, like who really cares? Like it's not about this season. It's not about that. Like, get in the gym, get better in the off season, improve. You know, even if he's only like a 32, 33% 3-point shooter for his career, that's fine. Like, but you got to take him.
I mean, but Andrew, what if he begins to tumble down the rookie rankings, Andrew?
I just do not care. I just could not. I need him to get better, you know, in the off season. And because if he can figure out a 3-point shot, and it's been, you know, like everybody just wants to talk about like the other Australian players that have gotten better. Like Patty Mills was not a great 3-point shooter when he came into the league. You know, Joe Ingles wasn't known as a shooter early in his career. Maybe it's some Australian thing. Like, who?
Oh
knows?
My God! Our Australian listeners, let us know.
Let us know if it's a thing.
Do they have a 3-point line in Australia? Maybe they don't.
I just think he's gonna work and get better. And I don't know if he'll ever be a knockdown Joe Ingles type of shooter. But if he's just even below league average at like 33-34%, like that's still great, you know.
Andrew, I want to play a little game with you.
Ooh, I like games.
So I'm going to read off a team that could potentially be in contention for like a top four-ish pick.
Woj news.
Woj news.
Did you see it?
No, I'm not on Twitter. I'm focusing on the pod.
Sorry, they're making Chicago and New Orleans forfeit picks.
Just their next available second round pick.
Yeah, that's right.
Who cares?
Could be JRE.
I would say worth it.
Who knows?
Both of those teams would say worth it because they gave up nothing.
True.
For Lowry and Ball.
Yeah. Yeah, true. All right. That's all.
Okay.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. When I was looking for somebody to hire for my team, I had to go to LinkedIn Jobs because you just don't know the quality of these candidates. And the good thing about LinkedIn Jobs, it kind of helps you filter through and find the best people. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals that you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/dunk. That's linkedin.com/dunk to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, back to my game, which you rudely interrupted. I'm going to name off teams that have a chance to be in the top four. You're going to tell me, because we talked about Jaden Ivey, you're going to tell me which teams would, in your mind, lean more to wanting to draft a big versus wanting to draft a guard. We'll say slash wing. Because, okay. I mean, I guess Patrick Baldwin Jr. Is going to be up there.
You're not a PBJ guy anymore?
No, I still am. I'd be open to him. But I'm just trying to figure out like which teams are would definitely be prioritizing a big. Because I think there's more than you realize, mm-hmm. more than we realize. Okay, let's start with Orlando.
Mm. They've got a lot of bigs. They got Bamba. But
they also, the Bamba, yes.
They've got Franz Wagner, who's like who's a forward.
Isaac.
They don't need a big.
Coming back.
They need
that Wendell Carter.
They don't really need a guard. They need a wing. They need a PBJ.
They need a PBJ. Okay, great. So good start. Bigs available. Next, Detroit.
They could use
big city.
They could use a big. Could,
yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Houston.
It all depends on Christian Wood. Like, what is like the future of Christian Wood? Are they going to give him an extension? Do they think of him as a guy that should belong with this team for a long time? Like, I don't know.
But they're going to trade him, and it's going to be a smart idea.
Maybe. We'll see.
He's 26. He only has a year after this one.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's why I'm saying it. That's why I'm like,
trade him.
I'm like saying, what's the.
I'm saying they're a big team. They're definitely not a guard team.
They're a wing. I think they're more of a wing because they've got Şengün. They still have Usman Garuba.
That's true. That's true. Maybe they're a PBJ team.
To me, they're more of a PBJ team.
But like you could play, like if they could get Chet with Şengün, probably works.
Yeah, maybe.
Jabari Smith with Şengün probably works.
Jabari Smith,
New Orleans.
Yeah, Jabari Smith. That's a Jabari Smith team for sure.
Yeah. New Orleans?
I mean...
They could take a guard.
They need a... Yeah, they need a guard pretty badly.
Jaden Ivey would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
On the Pelicans.
Yeah, I agree.
San Antonio? Isn't that crazy? San Antonio. So they've had the 27th hardest schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So... AKA the fourth easiest. They have the fourth hardest coming up. They're the team I'm most interested to see where they end up because right now they're 6-13, mm-hmm. but they've won two in a row. They're starting and going back to the beginning of the season, even when they were terrible, their point differential was good for a team that was losing that much. I have no idea what to think about them. You kind of just hope that Pop is going to take them over whatever line we need them to get to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they beat the Celtics and the Wizards. Mm-hmm. They play at Portland tomorrow night, which they could easily win that game.
They're not going to be pulling plugs like the Thunder will, I don't think. Like the Thunder should. You know, like I don't think that they're going to be like, well, we need to.
Well, the crazy thing with the Spurs is always like, what plug are you going to pull? Like, look at the roster. Like, the plugs have been pulled. They pulled it with DeRozan leaving, Patty Mills leaving,
Rudy Gay.
LMA leaving, Rudy Gay. Like, the plugs, there's nothing. They're playing Drew Eubanks.
Drew Eubanks took it to the Thunder the other night.
Don't care.
Yeah. He's such a Spurs big man in so many ways.
He is. I think he is the most, like, if you just, even like a fan of the NBA.
Yeah.
If you just showed them names of players that are currently on NBA rosters, Drew Eubanks would be the one that most people would say, I have no idea who that is. I've never seen that name in my life.
Yeah, that's you've got to be in the nitty gritty.
You got to be hardcore. You got to be talking to Bruno Passos.
What about like Shimezi Metu? Is that another one?
Probably, although he did get the boost by being in a starting lineup now, so maybe that helped him a little bit. I don't know who's watching the Kings, though.
Yeah, nobody. I'm kind of a Metu guy. I like him, by the way.
Why would you like anyone on the Kings? I feel so bad for the Kings.
Did you see the quote last night?
From Alvin Gentry?
Yeah.
Just apologizing?
Yes.
Just saying, yeah, we're terrible. I'm sorry. You have to watch that.
Skeets. Tweeted it this morning. I have to read it. It's just so sad. It is just so sad. I want to apologize to every Kings fan out there because you don't deserve this. The second half was a disaster and it was an embarrassment. We can't do what we did in the second half. The fans don't deserve that.
It's true.
It's true. I'm just trying to imagine a scenario where Mark gets up on the podium and says that.
It applies to the last decade and a half, though. Someone's finally apologizing to Kings fans.
Yeah, it applies to the past 16 years of basketball.
I can't even I follow a couple people on King's Twitter.
Yeah.
And it's getting dark.
It has to. Like, at what point do you just say, you know what? Like, we're close enough to San Francisco. You know?
Well, like,
close enough. There's
people, you know, like, that we do podcasts and whatever, yeah. and some people have blogs who are tweeting out, like, if I did not have to do this for my job, I probably would not be watching the Kings right now.
We don't have a Kings beat writer for The Athletic anymore. He's doing, Jason Jones moved over doing something else. I'm sure he's just breathing fresh air, not having to cover the Kings. Anytime I talk to Jason, he's just like, they'll never be good. Never. He's like, I don't care. You can put LeBron on this team. They'll never be good. He's like, never, ever will this team be good. They just won't.
And it's like, so wild.
People,
man,
try to encourage him. Like, no, what if they got, you know, so-and-so? He's like, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I don't care what pick they get in the draft. They're going to screw it up.
I just don't know what they're supposed to do, because
they need to trade for Ben Simmons. Like, they just need to do. They need to do whatever trade. I don't care what the trade is. Like, just go trade
for
Ben Simmons.
To what end, though?
Like, who can, like, you have to try something different.
No, but okay, so this is my point, because there was a poll going around King's Twitter where it was like, what do you want this team to do? Do you want them to go star hunting?
Yeah.
Do you want them to tank, or do you want them to try to, like, you know, make some moves to try to get this team to the playoffs?
Yeah.
Just like trying to trade for, like, you know, slightly better players.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really split. Like, because they have never tanked. They do not tank.
They just stink. Yeah.
They end up as like the 5th through 10th pick every single year. But
well,
they never
they got
gone
the second pick, they screwed it up.
Right. And that was jumping up, I believe. I believe they jumped up that year to get that second pick. I just, like, I don't know what the answer is. Like, I guess Ben Simmons buys you a little time. I mean, he's a good player. He's one of those players like a Tyrese Haliburton where you feel like he is a quote-unquote winning player.
Yeah.
And he's going to make your team better even if, like, the stats don't always look it.
He made the All-NBA team. They don't have anybody on their team that's going to make All-NBA ever.
But the problem is, like, I don't know if they have the package, like, because I don't know if Philly really wants De'Aaron Fox at this point.
No. Maybe he's not a part of the deal. Maybe it's something else.
They would have to be a wild overpay. It'd have to be, like, Barnes, Heald, and picks. And at that point, like, now you're probably worse again. Like, the Kings are probably worse.
Maybe. But you're at least different.
I don't know. I would be...
Barnes,
I don't know what
Heald,
I would be
picks,
at this point.
Like, you have to do that. I'm sorry. Like, you get to keep Tyrese Haliburton and De'Aaron Fox and add Ben Simmons. So, like, you have to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I should have thrown in Haliburton. Because, again, if Philly would have done...
Even that.
Would do Heald and Barnes, they would have probably done it by now.
Yeah, yeah, they would have done. Yes, that would have been done already. Yeah, that's. And if you're Philly, and you could get Buddy Heald and Tyrese Haliburton, like, you just, like, more shooting around Embiid, like, you could be, like, great. And I'm sure that, like, Morey would want something like that, because it's like, you take 53s a game. Like, what's the limit with that squad now that you have, like, two guys that can really shoot it.
And the great thing for the Thunder is the Kings, they're 8-13.
They're
like, they're not like the worst team in the league. They have 8 wins.
Yeah.
They're actually right where they've always been.
They're right.
Nothing that's happening this year is different. The thing is that it's always the same.
Yeah.
They don't tank. They don't get better. They are stuck perennially.
Yeah.
On the treadmill of mediocrity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Too bad for them.
Yeah. There's
thankful to not be a Kings fan. Thankful to have a decent owner.
Well, and a good general manager too. You know.
But you wouldn't even know it. Like, based on what you hear about the Kings, like, it doesn't even really matter who the GM is.
No, it doesn't. But to have the combination that we have in Oklahoma City, though, it's pretty.
Well, cool. I was I tweeted it out, but I was actually kind of surprised because Hollinger and Duncan did their organizational rankings. And I don't know, part of me was just thinking like, well, you know, we're a bad team right now. Like if we're in like the 11 to 20 range, I'm not going to be shocked.
Yeah.
But both of them had, I mean, Nate had us as the fifth overall and Hollinger had us as eighth overall.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty impressive. And because those guys, I mean, have been hard on OKC in the past for various things.
Yeah.
And it was just nice to hear a national voice like believe in what's going on in OKC despite the win-loss record.
Yeah. No, it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. Like you kind of have to, if you're going to be a viable franchise in Oklahoma, like you kind of have to have that.
Like, you do, because they're not saying that about Houston, who by many accounts is in like a very similar position to OKC. Like they have these future picks coming in from Brooklyn and from Milwaukee, I think. And
or even New Orleans. They have,
and New Orleans. And they, or yeah, or New Orleans. Like they're not saying it about those teams who are also in a kind of similar position to OKC. They have some young stars. They have some young players that you like. They have future flexibility. But the difference is with the owner and the GM.
Yeah. Owner, GM, like a very firm plan as to what they're doing. You know, you don't have that with New Orleans. We'll see what that looks like in Houston over the next couple of years. I have no doubt that the Thunder will stick to the plan. I have very little doubt that they will, which I think is really important. And like even, and this is like a stretch a little bit to like connect it to the Lincoln Riley stuff that's been going on in Oklahoma, but like in order to have like a sports, like a viable like sports team that is going to compete at a high level, like you have to have like a firm plan and like a really good general manager, really good ownership. And because like people are going to leave, like people are going to leave. It is money. It's glamour. It's being by the beach. It's like all that stuff is like, is going to call people away from Oklahoma. Like that's just the way that it is. And if the Thunder went after free agents, if they tried to trade for Towns, if they tried to do all these things that they could probably try to do right now, the sustainability of it is in question. I think you have to, I think they have to do it this way. Like it even, it confirms it a little bit more to me, that you kind of just like, you have to, this plan is the right one and they have to stick to it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the ideal, you would hope, like OKC with a Jokic type superstar, you would feel like amazing. You'd feel like, okay, this is good for all of time. Like, because it just feels like Jokic is the type of player who's going to be in Denver his whole career. Well, like, you almost want that type of overlooked superstar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that Shea and Josh could be those type of guys if they reach their peaks.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Shea less so. But Josh, like, certainly has that feel to him.
Kawhi was actually kind of one of those guys before he ended up going to LA.
Yes.
Where, like, the general NBA population, like, everyone knew he was good. They all recognized it, but no one's getting, like, excited about Kawhi.
Yeah.
You know, like, in the 2017 MVP race, he was third. Like, everyone was talking about Westbrook and Harden.
Yeah.
He didn't have that type of star power. But that type of a star on OKC, I think, would do really well.
Yeah.
And even though he did leave.
He did leave two teams. He left a team after the NBA title, you know? Just Yeah, I agree. You have any Lincoln thoughts that you want to unload on everybody before we go?
Oh, Lincoln Riley?
Yeah.
I would say I'm excited. I'm excited. Okay, before I say I'm excited, I will fully acknowledge.
Okay, you got to let people know. I don't know that everybody knows that you're an OU grad.
I am an OU grad. My dad used to work for a company that did all of the like PR shots for OU. So I would get to go to like every media day and be on the field. I'd get to go to a lot of games with my dad because he shot on like sideline shots on the field. So I spent a lot of my youth on the sidelines at OU games, went to a lot of bowl games, all that. Big fan, but as I got older, moved away. Now I watch all the games, but you know, I'm not a diehard. That said, okay, before I say what I'm going to say, I fully acknowledge that this could send them down a spiral, which I know that you are hoping for. I know that all the OSU fans are hoping that.
I wasn't going to say it. I won't say
Yes, you are. You want OU to
I know how fragile everybody is right now. I'm just going to sit quietly and just enjoy myself.
You want OU to spiral. You want them to go to the SEC and get embarrassed. I fully admit that that is a strong, maybe strong possibility of what could happen.
Yeah.
That said, this is the most invested and excited and engaged I've been about OU football in at least four seasons, at least since Kyler was here.
Wow.
The 3 years with Jalen and then Spencer and then whatever this year was, like, it was just a steady progression of me getting less and less interested in this team because you see, and I know it's OU fans are so spoiled and entitled. We don't even care about Big 12 championships. We won six and around that. We don't even care. Yeah. But it's true at a certain point, you just kind of like get bored of this team. And it's like, what does it even mean to win the Big 12? Who cares? Because you want to win a championship. So I am excited because all possibilities are open at this point. Now, a lot of those possibilities are them being terrible, Andrew. They could be absolutely terrible. We could be entering a dark period as we did in the 1990s when I was sitting at a OU Colorado game in the south end zone, basically by myself. It was me, my dad, and my uncle. No one was there. No one cared. We could be heading back there.
Yeah.
We could have another Schnellenberger, John Blake era.
Oh, no, John Blake. Yeah.
But all that said, I'm still excited because until that happens, anything is possible. Anything is possible, Andrew.
It is definitely more exciting to follow, without a doubt.
Isn't it?
For now it is. Like that. For now. I love Eddie Radosovich. He's on the radio here. He's a friend of ours. We went to elementary school with Eddie. I don't listen to Eddie's podcast. You know, like I don't.
Yeah, I had never listened to it before this happened.
Yeah, I hadn't either, and I was refreshing my feed whenever I saw them say like it's coming, because I was like, all right, let's go.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. No, that was good.
I think it's just going to be a lot of fun. And the funniest part, if I can take a little jab at OU fans, is that, you know, we're all excited that like Bob Stoops is there to like weather this storm. And I am very thankful to Bob Stoops. Obviously, he brought this team a championship.
Stoops troops.
But as I sent to you, you know, everyone's going crazy. Oh, we love Bob so much. Well, I found, because I remembered it, I found a mailbag question sent to Bill Simmons in 2009 describing what it was like to be a fan of Oklahoma at that time. And I think people just forget like how run into the ground the Bob Stoops era felt at that time. And going up, I mean, he didn't even leave until a few years later. And now everyone wants Brent Venables back, which I get it. He's a good recruiter in like SEC country. But we hated that guy too.
Yeah.
We're just like, we want to recapture this past that I don't feel like we're not willing to admit that like we kind of got sick of all of it to like an alarming degree. So whatever. I'm open to anything is what I'm saying.
Oh, it's very, very exciting stuff. It's very exciting stuff. All right. That's all we got for today. Enjoy the Tankathon Bowl tonight down at the Paycom Center. If you're going to be there, I'll be there too. Say hello if you'd like. We do have a special pod on Saturday with Sam Vecini on Slam and Jam. If you aren't subscribed to the Athletic NBA show and you like to hear Alex and I talk more, you can subscribe to that. Listen to us on Saturday. Sam Vecini is going to be talking about the rookies. Get some Josh Giddey talk on that pod, so be sure to subscribe and listen for that. I've been working on a new Down to Dunk intro with the players in it. I think that will be dropping on Friday. so be ready for that. It is the... I don't really know where I'm going with it, but it should be at least a little weird, a little fun. So, all right. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you guys again on Friday.
Hey, As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.